It's the day after Thanksgiving, and where does our Torah leave us? It's the middle of the night, and Jacob has an encounter with a malach, with a messenger the tradition does not know the identity of. Is this Jacob's angel, Esau's angel? Is it his own subconscious wrestling with him? The Torah doesn't tell us, but what we know is that Jacob is terrified because the following day he's going to meet his brother again, the brother whom he took the birthright from 20 years earlier. And Jacob is convinced that he is going to die, and he is desperate to prevent that, as anyone would be. He strikes up notions that if he sends gifts ahead of him and divides his camp up like a general with different fronts, maybe he'll be saved. But Jacob has a long night of terror. And the question that I wonder about is, what does this story have to tell to us the day after Thanksgiving? What is contained in it that can teach us something important about our lives? And the answer for me this year comes from a startling place to a question I've always had and have never had answered. Because 20 years ago, when this story begins and this climax that Jacob is about to face is in front of him, Jacob steals the birthright. But what is that birthright? That's what I've always wanted to know. You think that the birthright means that Jacob is given the best of the goods, primogeniture, that he will inherit the wealth. Or maybe the birthright means that he will somehow continue the nation. But what's fascinating is that's not what happens. After he sells a bowl of porridge to his brother, he flees from home, and all he has in his hands is a staff. The man leaves his home thinking he has a birthright, and he is bone poor. And he is on the lam, and he is running for his life. Where's the birthright? What's the birthright? Now, we know Jacob ends up in Laban's house, and for 20 years, he ends up having to outfox a tremendously sharp businessman and his uncle to make some money in the form of sheep. And he comes back, this man who supposedly had a birthright, in full terror, no sense of abundance, no sense of having achieved something, even though he is being followed by dozens and dozens of his retinue and a huge fortune in sheep. Jacob feels bankrupt. Jacob is living in scarcity. And I think the answer to my question of the birthright comes over that dream that Jacob has. Because you might look at those gifts to his brother as a bribe to stay alive. And if you do, you don't have an answer to what Jacob's birthright was or what we can learn. Jacob gives, and in that act of giving, something changes for him. I want to turn to the laws of tzedakah for a second to help us understand, because the Jewish tradition teaches us that everyone is obligated to give, including the person on the dole. If you receive assistance, you are not exempt from giving. Tzedakah, in other words, teaches us that everything we have is a gift, and that gifts need to flow through us. Gifts have to stay in motion. When we stop a gift, when we hold on to it, when we turn it into a consumer good, it loses its life. It places us into a mode of scarcity. We all know that you buy something thinking it will make you happy, and within a couple of weeks, the power of it's gone. Jacob, I think, earns his birthright at the very moment when he gives it away. He gives his wealth to his brother, and he is transformed. The boy who is always on the run becomes the leader of the nation. Gifts have to stay in motion. And the day after Thanksgiving, when we are trying to give gifts of gratitude, I think we know that. We cooked for friends and family. We passed it on. And in the giving, as Walt Whitman once said, is where the giver receives the gift, not in holding it, but in giving it away. That's so counterintuitive to how we live our lives, and yet I think it's where happiness comes from. To give is to realize that you are living in abundance and not in scarcity. It's to realize you have enough and that you are enough. And that's where gratitude comes from. And that's where Jacob's birthright comes from. And that's where the leadership of the Jewish people in our giving of tzedakah comes from. Quick little story to wrap it up. A couple of times in our morning minyan, I've spoken to people afterwards and asked, why are you here? It's early in the morning. And a couple of people said, I came here when my father died. I came here when my mother died. And the minyan was here for me. And now I'm giving it back. They got it. They understood. It's only a gift when you give it away. May we all find ways to do that and embrace the gratitude that comes from knowing that we have enough. Shabbat Shalom.